time for our last money news for a week with Shane Oliver, who is with AMP, chief economist with AMP. Good morning to you. We're on the eve of a long weekend, and for you and I, a week off.
That's right. I've got holidays next week, and it sounds like you have too.
Very, very good. Look, a few things we need to talk about. First of all, the annual inflation rate. We looked at the figures yesterday, and this time, goods and services, it appears to me the annual inflation rate remains steady at 3.4%. But these are monthly figures. They're not quarterly. It's the quarterly ones that matter most. Am I right?
That's right. But by the same token, these monthly numbers are looked at quite closely. And I think the ABS plans, that's the Bureau of Statistics that puts them together, plans that sometime next year we'll just be relying on the monthly numbers. We'll transition to the monthly alone. So they're not ignored. And these ones can't be ignored because, as you mentioned, it contained a big smattering of services inflation in there, including for things like education, travel, and so on. And the news was actually good. Most economists, including myself, thought there'd actually be a bit of a bounce up in inflation, but it remained at 3.4%. We've only got one more month to go in the quarter. Even if we do see a bit of a bounce up in the March numbers, for the quarter as a whole, it looks like we could be on track for inflation of just 0.5% in the March quarter. And of course, if you annualize that, i.e. multiply that by four, it tells you the inflation rate has come down dramatically, as it did in the September quarter or December quarter last year. It looks like we're going to have six monthly period where inflation is down closer to 2% on an annualized basis, which I think provides more confidence for the Reserve Bank that inflation is coming down. Yes, it's still too high on the year-ended numbers or 12-month-ended numbers, but we are going in the right direction, and I think that is consistent with the Reserve Bank starting to cut interest rates from around mid-year. But don't expect them to suddenly be a lot more confident. They're still going to be a little bit cautious in the short term. Services inflation is still a bit of an issue, but at least it's all going in the right direction.
Oh, it's going in the right direction. That's what we want to hear. Now, you and I were talking about the cashless society that we're rapidly getting into. 13% of business transactions this month, cash. We talked about Armaguard, which merged. This is the Lindsay Fox organisation that carries cash. This is how serious it is, folks. Shane Oliver, tell everyone what Coles is going to have to do this Easter.
Well, they're hoarding cash and apparently, reportedly anyway, going to limit cash. You know, when you go to the supermarket, you can get a bit of cash out when you make your payment. They're reportedly going to limit how much you can take out because they're worried that Armaguard might go over the edge and they won't get that cash again. That said, there are talks in progress and I haven't seen the final outcome of those talks yet, but it looks like the lifeline being thrown to Armaguard by the four major banks, and I think Coles, Woolworths and some others may well be accepted in the short term, and hopefully that keeps Armaguard afloat and keeps that cash flowing to people who need it, obviously ATMs and over the Easter period.
There you are, but that's how serious it is, folks. This Easter, Coles are going to hoard cash in case they can't get cash deliveries because of the precarious position Armaguard's in. Who would have ever thought it? Now, to finish off with, Shane Oliver, Easter. It's the big chocolate-consuming holiday. Probably it's bigger than Valentine's Day. However, Australian consumers of chocolate, we could be heading into very dangerous waters. Chocolate and the chocolate that we consume at Easter and then on other occasions, we may have to really limit it because the prices are heading up, aren't they? And there's an interesting reason why.
That's right. And it is quite interesting. Obviously, the basic ingredient in chocolate is cocoa. A lot of cocoa comes from Africa. Africa has been affected by El Nino. Maybe it didn't have as big an impact on Australia as we thought it might, but it has had an impact on other countries. Initially, it was very dry and hot conditions. And then suddenly they got some heavy rains, which destroyed part of the crops. And they've also had problems with pests. And the cost of pesticides and fertilizers gone up. So all these things are combining. So a year ago, the US dollar price of cocoa was $2,700 a ton. That's a ton, mind you. It sounds like a big number, but that's a ton. Right here, right now, that price is about $9,700 a tonne, give or take a little bit. It bounces around a bit day to day. So massive, more than threefold increase in the basic ingredient that feeds into copper. Now, that's a faster increase than what Bitcoin has seen over that same period, which is up something like 150%. So yeah, if you really wanted to make a lot of money, the trick was to buy coca a year or so ago. Of course, no one knew this was going to quite happen. But obviously, there is a flow on into chocolate prices.
Yep.
I suspect that we will see higher chocolate prices. I've seen mixed readings on whether this is going to show up for Easter or not. Odds are you probably will see some lift compared to last year. But I reckon you might want to stock up because, maybe I shouldn't say that, because everyone probably will stock up and then they will have nothing on the shelves. But the risk is that as those high prices feed through into chocolate, as they will over the next 6 months, that you could see quite a sharp lift in prices going forward.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe it's not bad news for those like me who are into Arnott Shapes and things like that. I'll be in trouble for giving a product endorsement there. Arnott Shapes are my favourites, but in any case,
God.
Chocolate lovers, I do have a little bit over Easter.
Go savoury instead of chocolate. Is that, that's
go savoury.
See, this is an inside trading. This is inside trading, folks. What Shane could be suggesting here is buy shares in Shapes and drop your chocolate. and drop. You know what? It's funny. I remember on this radio program some time ago now, I think 2022 it was, March 2022, Cadbury sneakily shrunk the size of its chocolate bar. It went from 200 grams to 180, hoping no one would notice. Can I just tell you this? Every single one of my listeners noticed.
It's called sneakflation.
Well, shrinkflation.
Shrinkflation. Yeah, there is a term for it. You reduce the weight of the product, but it all looks the same. But savvy people are onto it, and I have seen a little bit of that going on. I think in chip packets might have got a little bit smaller.
Everything. You and I are about the same age. Do you remember the Western Wagon Wheels?
Oh yes,
they're
small. I used
small.
To love them when I was a little.
Oh,
kid.
They were a feast. They are nowhere near what they used to be. Are you with me?
I am, but that might be because we got bigger.
Our hands got bigger.
I used to think a Big Mac was huge when I first saw one in 1970 something or other, and now I think they're like little midget things.
Yeah, but no, the Western's wagon wheel was the biggest thing you'd ever seen. But yeah, you're right. We're growing. Our hands have gotten bigger. Maybe it hasn't shrunk. It'd be interesting. I'd like to know how many grams it weighed back when you and I were seven.
We should look it up.
Well, there's some homework. You've got nothing else to do this Easter. Look it up for me. Just quickly, back with the chocolate. And this is serious. Because the growing conditions and the overheads associated with growing cocoa has skyrocketed, and the majority, I think about 60% of the world's cocoa comes from Ghana, which is West Africa. Why don't the big chocolate factories, the big buyers, why don't they plow maybe a bit more of their profits into making cocoa more sustainable? Wouldn't that make sense?
Well, you'd think so. And I am surprised that so much of that cocoa that we rely on comes from, you know, just one country or just one part of the world.
I think they grow it also in Papua New Guinea, but nowhere near.
Yeah, there is a bit around. It's like coffee. You know, a lot of it comes from South America and elsewhere. But, you know, it is a bit concentrated, even though there is some activity occurring elsewhere. But I am a bit surprised that it's not grown more sustainably in other parts.
Can we grow it here? Obviously not.
Well, you'd think we could. We seem to be able to grow everything else here. We grow our own rice, for example, whereas you would have thought, well, that requires
lots of water.
Lots of water, but we seem to manage to do it.
I don't think we should grow rice, to be honest. I honestly don't. I think we should be growing crops that suit our climate a lot better. Mate, is cocoa one of those crops? I'll have to find out. I'll talk to David Littleproud next week about it, okay?
Yeah, try that one.
And what they need is Swift Grow. There you go. Plug for one of my favourite people, Swift Grow. Maybe that'll get the crops growing again. Mate, Shane Oliver, always good to talk to you. Have a great week off, and you and I will catch up next week. Not next week, the week after.
Sounds good, Luke. Have a good week off.